Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to cover Jeremiah chapter 41, which I will entitle, Gedaliah is Murdered. Now, we're in the historical section of Jeremiah now. 586 has already occurred. The Babylonians have burnt down Jerusalem, carted off a lot of nobles off into exile to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon has appointed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, has appointed said Gedaliah to be the governor of the province of Judah, which has now lost its independent status as a kingdom and is now a province of the Babylonian Empire. And so Gedaliah has set up his government in Mizpah, which is a little bit north of Jerusalem, and Jeremiah, having been given the option of either going to Babylon in captivity or going wherever he wanted to, chose to go to Mizpah to be with Gedaliah, who is ruling Judah at this point, not as a king, but as a governor. So that's where we are. We start now in Jeremiah 41, verses 1 through 3. In the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, who was of royal blood and had been one of the king's officers, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah. While they were eating together there, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him, got up and struck down Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, with the sword, killing the one whom the king of Babylon had appointed as governor over the land. Ishmael also killed all the Jews who were with Gedaliah at Mizpah, as well as the Babylonian soldiers who were there. Now, in verse 1, we have a time indicator, and the seventh month is when all this assassination happened. So let me give you a summary of the dates, key dates, surrounding the siege of Jerusalem by Babylon. The siege began in Kislev, December, on Kislev the 10th, 588, 18 months later, in Tammuz 9, June or July. In the summertime in 586, the city wall was breached. A month later, in Av, on the seventh day of Av, Nebuzaradan, the commander of the Babylonian troops, entered into the city, and then the temple was burnt down on Av the 10th, which is July and August, in the summertime of 586. Now, Av was the fifth month. This is the seventh month in verse 1. In the seventh month, Ishmael killed Gedaliah. Now, according to Jews, not according to the scripture, but Jewish tradition, Gedaliah was slain 52 days after the temple was burnt. According to the Jews, he was slain on the third day of the seventh month of Tishri. Tishri is our September, October. Tishri is the seventh month. And so this occurred 52 days after the destruction of the temple. On Tishri the third, a fast was kept by the Jews after they returned from captivity. This fast is called the fast of the seventh month. We read in Zechariah 7:5 this, "Ask all the people of the land and the priest, when you fasted and lamented in the fifth and in the seventh months for these 70 years, did you really fast for me?" And so you see the fast of the seventh month is mentioned. That's the fast to mourn the murder of Gedaliah. In Zechariah 8:19, we read this, "The Lord of hosts says this, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the 10th will become times of joy, gladness, and cheerful festivals for the house of Judah." So, four fasts to mention in Zechariah 8:19, and one of them is the fast of the 7th, which is the day that Gedaliah got killed, or was the month that Gedaliah got killed by Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us exactly when in the 7th month this happened. Now, this is a rabbit trail, but in Zechariah 8:19, there's a fast of the 10th month mentioned. The Talmud says that the 10th month, which is Tevet, December through January, there was a fast on Tevet 5. Why? Because this was when news of Jerusalem's fall had reached the exiles in Babylon. Ezekiel 33:21, "In the 12th year of my exile, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, a fugitive from Jerusalem came to me and reported, the city has been taken." Well, all that's Jewish tradition, but it's interesting. They had all these fast set up to lament the fall of Jerusalem. In Zechariah 8:19, the fast of the fourth month is mentioned. That would be because in the fourth month, Tammuz, June or July, On the ninth day, the city wall was breached. And then they had a fast of the fifth month. That was Av. And I know that the rabbis fixed that on Av 9, Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. But we know that during Av, on the seventh, Nebuzaradan entered. And on the tenth, the temple was burnt down. The Jews kind of played fast and loose with that and put it on the ninth of Av. So just to summarize, in verse 1, in the seventh month when this assassination by Ishmael of Gedaliah took place, a lot of things have been happening in that year of 586. In Tammuz, June or July, the city wall had been breached in Jerusalem. In Av, July, August 7th, Av the 7th in 586, Nebuzaradan, the commander of the Babylonians, had entered into the city and broken the wall. And then on the 10th of Av, 586, the temple was burnt down. It finished burning down. That was the fifth month. And then about 52 days later, according to the Jews, but let's say in the seventh month, which is Tishri, a couple of months later from the fifth to the seventh month, then the governor of Judah is assassinated. Lots of stuff going on. So in the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, who was of royal blood, he was not directly of Zedekiah's line. He was probably from a remote branch in the royal family. It was mentioned that he was of the royal line here, probably by Jeremiah, was to show or perhaps give a reason why he would have a motive to attack Gedaliah. Perhaps he had a grudge against Gedaliah. He is a royal personage, and he should be ruling, not Gedaliah. This Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had been one of Zedekiah's officers. So he comes with 10 men to Gedaliah at Mizpah, which is right north of Jerusalem. So they're eating together there. Now, who are these 10 men? Probably some of the nobles of Zedekiah. Probably some people who had fled with Zedekiah from Jerusalem as Zedekiah went out past the king's garden at the south of Jerusalem, headed down the Arabah Valley and got caught. And they probably deserted Zedekiah when Zedekiah was caught. And so they have attached themselves to Ishmael, and they're eating together with Ishmael. The Feast of Trumpets, 1st and 2nd Tishri, September, October. They're eating at Mizpah. If you look at the map, there's a road running straight south to north from Jerusalem, about 10 miles, and you hit Mizpah. Gedaliah had established his government there. We read from the previous chapter, chapter 40, verses 5 through 6, when Jeremiah had not yet turned to go, Nebuzaradan said to him, "Return to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has appointed over the cities of Judah, and stay with him among the people, or go wherever you want to go." So the captain of the guard, that's Nebuzaradan, gave Jeremiah a ration and a gift and released him. Jeremiah therefore went to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah, and he stayed with him among the people who remained in the land. So Jeremiah is probably at this feast together. This was a holiday, as I said. It was a new moon, the first day of the month. It was the beginning of the year 2. The Feast of Trumpets was on Tishri 1 and 2, so this was a high festival, and they're eating together at the feast. Now, all this eating together at the Feast of Trumpets, this is Jewish tradition I'm kind of throwing in here. But at any rate, whatever meal it was, that's a terrible time to kill somebody. Perfectly treacherous time to do that. In the ancient Near East, eating together was a sign of deep, intimate friendship. But you know how politics is. Now, my commentators, probably John Gill, I didn't write it down, but he said the Jews kept Tishri 3rd as the fast day because of this event. And we see that Gedaliah was killed either on Tishri 1 or Tishri 2, the Feast of the Trumpets. Why on Tishri 3rd? Well, maybe it's because what happened after the day of Gedaliah's assassination, which we'll get down here to in verse 4, 70 more people got killed. We'll get to that in just a minute. Now, this Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, was one of the royal commanders. He was a general under Gedaliah. We read in Jeremiah 40, verses 7 through 8, when all the commanders of the armies in the field, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, over the land, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. The commanders included Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. If you recall the story, Yohanan, son of Kareah, had told Gedaliah, "Hey, this Ishmael's coming after you. You better kill him. You better take care of him." And Gedaliah didn't, and as a result, got himself killed. In verse 2, Gedaliah is struck down. Later on in verse 9, we see that Ishmael threw Gedaliah's body into a cistern. not exactly a royal honorable burial. Josephus says that Gedaliah was drunk when he got killed. I don't know how Josephus knows that. It's a very uncharitable thing for Josephus to say. Now in verse 2, there's an incidental detail. It mentions that Gedaliah had been appointed by the Babylonians. That is probably thrown in there to show why the murder took place. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, is loyal to Zedekiah because Ishmael is of the tribe of Judah, the royal family, and Gedaliah is basically the representative of a foreign government, the Babylonians. He would be like the Vichy government in France in World War II, representing the Nazis. Verse 3 tells us that Ishmael killed all the Jews, in addition to Gedaliah. Josephus says that Ishmael went out into the night and slew all the Jews in the city of Mizpah to keep the people from avenging the murder of Gedaliah. Well, we don't know how many people he killed, but he killed more than Gedaliah. He also killed Babylonian soldiers who were there. Of course, that's a garrison to protect Mizpah. That was the government of the Babylonian province of Judah there in Mizpah. They had soldiers there and they got killed. So the province is in full-scale confusion and revolt at this point. We go now to Jeremiah 41, verses 4 through 9. The day after Gedaliah's assassination, before anyone knew about it, 80 men who had shaved off their beards, torn their clothes, and cut themselves came from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria, bringing grain offerings and incense with them to the house of the Lord. Now the house of the Lord, of course, is in Jerusalem. That's a problem, because Jerusalem is burnt down now, and so is the house of the Lord. We'll get to that in a minute. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went. When he met them, he said, "Come to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam." Of course, Gedaliah is dead now. When they went into the city, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the men who were with him slaughtered them and threw them into a cistern. Now, not 80 were killed, only 70 of them were killed, because we read in verse 8, "But 10 of them said to Ishmael, 'Don't kill us. We have wheat and barley, oil and honey, hidden in a field.'" So he, that's Ishmael, let the 70 alone and did not kill them with the others. Now the cistern where he threw all the bodies of the men he had killed, along with Gedaliah, was the one King Asa, who ruled from 911 to 870, had made as a part of his defense against Baasha, who ruled from 909 to 886, Baasha being the king of Israel, as northern Israel. So the cistern apparently was fairly famous there in Mizpah. Now in verse 4, the day after Gedaliah had gotten assassinated, before anyone knew about it, because apparently it was done secretly enough, at least it was done in such a way that the assassination of all the Jews around were no longer allowed to tell anybody about it. That's why nobody knew about it outside the city. And so in come 80 men who had shaved off their beards, torn their clothes, and cut themselves. Now these apparently were pious men who still loved Yahweh and Israel. They came from the northern kingdom. Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria are all cities in the northern kingdom. And of course, that kingdom had been destroyed in 722, but there were still people there that loved Yahweh, left behind in that polygot population up there. They still had a great regard for the temple worship at Jerusalem, and so they headed on down to offer their sacrifice. Now, they were in mourning. They shaved their beards. They tore their clothes. They cut their flesh, all of which were traditional symbols of mourning. Now, shaving one's beard and tearing one's clothes was perfectly legal, but the cutting of the flesh was forbidden by the law. We read in Leviticus 19:28, "You are not to make gashes on your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am Yahweh." That's a great verse I'd like to read to a bunch of NBA basketball players. Deuteronomy 14:1, "You are sons of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or make a bald spot on your head on behalf of the dead." Well, the law said that, but, you know, in the 9 centuries or so since the law, a lot of pagan traditions had seeped in, a lot of doctrinal downgrade, a lot of cultural assimilation, a lot of unfaithfulness to the law had occurred. Now we address the question of why would these pious men come to bring an offering to the temple in Jerusalem when the temple is destroyed? Well, here are 3 perfectly reasonable options to explain that. Option number 1, they weren't going to Jerusalem. They were going to Mizpah, thinking that there was a tabernacle or some sort of sanctuary erected at Mizpah to take place of the burnt-down temple. Option number 2, they intended to go not to Mizpah but on to Jerusalem and to offer their offerings on the spot where the Temple of Jerusalem had stood before it was burnt down. They hoped to find an altar there, maybe an altar made merely of earth. They were hoping to find some priests to sacrifice. Option number three, they started out with their offerings before they heard of the destruction of the temple. Well, for whatever reason, they shouldn't have gone to Mizpah. They were ambushed through no fault of their own. Now, 10 of them bought themselves out of the death sentence by offering Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, some food, wheat and barley, oil and honey, which was hidden in a field. Now you think, well, that's a small price to pay for a ransom to save 10 people's lives. What kind of a king would take that kind of ransom? Well, remember, this is during a famine because of the destruction of Jerusalem and the defeat of Judah. And so the food would have meant a lot to Ishmael. Notice in verse 5, there are no meat offerings brought. Those three men, those 80 men from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria had brought grain offerings and incense, but no meat offerings. They probably didn't have meat. And so Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, was willing to take their meager offering as a ransom for 10 of the lives of the pious men from northern Israel. Now, why did Ishmael even bother to meet the 80 men coming from northern Israel? Well, he didn't want the 80 to discover what he had done to Gedaliah. He didn't want the 80 to spread the news about Gedaliah's assassination all over what's left of northern Israel, or Judah for that matter. So by suckering them into the city and killing them, or killing 70 of them, he managed to keep his deed secret. I guess he thought the 10 that were left that bought their lives with the food hidden in the field, I guess he thought the food was more valuable than the secrecy. Now Ishmael, when he saw the 80 men, he could have asked them to come into the city to test them, to see if anybody had heard of the news of the murder yet. He could have said, "Hey, 80 pious men, how's things going? You heard any news lately?" And if they don't mention any assassination, which would be big news, he would say, "Okay, I've still kept it secret. I'm still safe." And for another reason why he asked them to come into Mizpah was so he could kill them. He probably did both. He wanted to find out first whether the news had gotten out of the murder, and then he wanted to kill them just to make sure that the news didn't get out about the murder. Now, this food that was used to buy the lives of the 10 survivors of the 80 could have been hidden in a normal storehouse in a field, or the food could have actually been dug into the field and hidden from the Babylonians. Not in a normal place where anybody could find it in a storehouse, but in a special place under the ground. But at any rate, the food would be attractive, as I said earlier, because there was a famine going on. Well, Ishmael took the 10 up on the deal, which shows he was avaricious as well as a cruel murderer. He wanted that food. Now, the cistern that Gedaliah plus the 70 pious men were thrown into, and it must have been an awful big cistern to handle 71 bodies, we read about in 1 Kings 15:22. Then King Asa gave a command to everyone without exception in Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timbers Baasha had built it with. Then King Asa built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah with them. Well, that's the building of Mizpah. Doesn't mention a cistern. We can assume the cistern was involved in the building project there. Now in verse 9, we read that the cistern where he threw all the bodies of the men he had killed, I mentioned the 70 pious men from the north, I mentioned Gedaliah, but members of Gedaliah's party were also killed. So they were thrown in there too. So this cistern had more than 71 bodies in it. Now, I'm not sure that all of the people that Ishmael killed ended up in that cistern, because verse 3 says Ishmael killed all the Jews as well as the Babylonian soldiers who were there. If it was a small party of Jews, Jewish nobles perhaps, and a small contingent of Babylonian soldiers, perhaps they could have all fit into that cistern. And I'm sure he was putting them into the cistern to keep it quiet, because he didn't have exactly a big army there. Secrecy was of great value to him. And so he was throwing everybody into that cistern below ground where nobody could see the people who were killed. Maybe he could have put all the Jews he had killed and all the Babylonians he had killed into that cistern. Now, verse 9 says that the cistern was the one that Asa had made as a part of his defense against Baasha. I don't know why a cistern would be used in defense unless it meant that you have to store water while you're being besieged. We go now to Jeremiah 41, verses 10 through 15. Ishmael made captives of all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the ones he had killed, the king's daughters along with all the others who were left there. Now, the people who were left were probably unarmed people. Ishmael had probably killed armed people and put them in the cistern. But the unarmed people, the eunuchs, the king's daughters, this is the harem, basically, of Zedekiah, all of these, over whom Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, took them captive and set out to cross over to the Ammonites. Remember, Balas, King Balas, B-A-A-L-I-S, of Ammon, had encouraged Ishmael to revolt, and so Ishmael is heading to Ammon. He took all of the others, the king's daughters and the others in the entourage, and set out to cross over to the Ammonites. When Yohanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him heard about all the crimes Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had committed, the word finally got out, they took all their men and went to fight Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. They caught up with him near the great pool in Gibeon. This is a different city now, Gibeon, not Mizpah. When all the people Ishmael had with him saw Yohanan, son of Kareah, and the army officers who were with him, they were glad. I guess they were glad because they were captive headed to Ammon. All the people Ishmael had taken captive at Mizpah turned and went over to Yohanan, son of Kareah. But Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and 8 of his men escaped from Yohanan and fled to the Ammonites. So Ishmael's coup failed, but he was not caught. He escaped and went to Ammon. Ammon, of course, is right north of Moab and right east of the southern half of the Jordan River and the northern half of the Sea of Galilee. Now in verse 10, these daughters who were taken captive at Mizpah by Ishmael, it's not clear whether those were the daughters of Jehoiakim or Zedekiah. Jehoiakim ruled from 609 to 598. Zedekiah ruled from 597 to 586. Probably Zedekiah, because Zedekiah was the last king. Why were not these daughters killed at Riblah, where Zedekiah's sons were killed, in Hamath, in Syria? Well, because Nebuchadnezzar knew that Zedekiah's daughters could not inherit the throne, but the sons could, so he killed the sons. Now, the others who left Mizpah under the captivity of Ishmael, besides the daughters, these were probably the high-level officials of Zedekiah's government. In verse 16, we see women, children, and court officials mentioned. That sounds like the harem, the women and the children, and the court officials who were in charge of keeping up with the women and the children. Soldiers are also mentioned because there were some soldiers there that were on the side of Gedaliah who had been captured, apparently, and not killed. So this harem and their soldierly escort had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and now they were taken captive again by Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. Not a happy situation for them. Now, this Yohanan, son of Kareah, was one of Gedaliah's former army officers, and he rescued the harem at Gibeon. Now, Gibeon is about 3 miles southwest of Mizpah. It's off the main road from Mizpah to Jerusalem. Now, in verse 11, Yohanan, son of Kareah, takes up the fight and all of his army officers with him. The army officers with him, in fact, are named in Jeremiah 40, verse 8. The commanders included Yohanan and Jonathan, his brother, Jonathan. Yohanan and Jonathan were the sons of Kareah. Sareah, son of Tanhumeth, nobody knows anything about him. The sons of Ephiah, the Netophathite, nobody knows anything about him. And Jezaniah, son of the Maccathite, just names. But these were the same army commanders who had been with Gedaliah. They are now with Yohanan, the son of Kareah, who is now in charge. So in verse 11, Yohanan, son of Kareah, heard about all the crime. So even though Ishmael had tried to keep it quiet, he failed. Tried to keep it quiet by killing everybody. Yohanan heard about it, so he took his men and went to fight Ishmael, caught up with him at the great pool in Gibeon. There wasn't a battle. It's just that Ishmael fled the field and went off to Ammon, leaving the harem and the accompanying loyal soldiers there with Yohanan in Gibeon, the great pool in Gibeon. Now, this is an interesting place historically. Way back during the times of David, when David was fighting his civil war with the remains of Saul's kingdom, he was fighting with the servants of Ishbosheth, Saul's descendant. In 2 Samuel 2, verses 12 through 16, we read of an interesting story. Abner was fighting for the Benjamites, the people of Saul, and Joab was fighting for David, the people of Judah. In verse 12 of 2 Samuel 2, Abner, son of Ner, and soldiers of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, marched out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. That's where we are now, Gibeon, about 2 or 3 miles southwest of Mizpah. So Joab, son of Zeruiah, and David's soldiers marched out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. The two groups took up positions on opposite sides of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, "Let's have the young men get up and compete in front of us." "Let them get up," Joab replied. So they got up and were counted off, 12 from Benjamin and Ishbosheth, son of Saul, and 12 from David's soldiers. Then each man grabbed his opponent by the head and thrust his sword into his opponent's side so that they all died together. So this place, which is in Gibeon, is named Field of Blades. And in verse 13, it says it was by the pool of Gibeon that this bloody encounter took place. That shows you the stupidity of war. Get 12 people to fight each other, and all 24 of them killed each other. Now we need to ask another question. If you look at the map, Gibeon is not on the way to Ammon from Mizpah. Ammon is due east of Mizpah, but Gibeon is southwest. Why had Ishmael flown in the wrong direction, trying to get to Ammon? Well, he could have done that to avoid the forces of Johanan. He just had to do it to get out of the way of the soldiers he was going to fight against. It could be he was trying to go pick up the hidden treasures that the 80 men from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria had offered him, or at least the 10 of those 80 who had offered the food to Ishmael so that Ishmael would not kill 10 of them, and maybe it was hidden there. I think that's unreasonable. I think the best speculation is to say he just had to go there for tactical reasons. He had to avoid the enemy. Now in verse 15, Ishmael hightails it off to Ammon with 8 men. Remember, he started out with 10 men. In verse 1, in the 7th month, Ishmael came with 10 men to Gedaliah. They ate a meal together there. 10 men. Well, that assumes the 8 soldiers fleeing to Ammon with Ishmael assumes that no more than those original 10 men had been recruited. If you don't assume that they were any more, then that means 2 were killed and only 8 were left. That's a small army to try to take over a former kingdom. It's a good bet that Ishmael had more than 10 people at his side to capture Mizpah. It could be that the 10 men were just the 10 men who were eating the feast at the Feast of Trumpets, but there were other men involved in capturing Mizpah from Gedaliah. I don't know. It's all speculation. We go now to Jeremiah 41, verses 16 through 18, and we will finish this chapter. Then Johanan, son of Korea, and all the army officers who were with him led away all the survivors from Mizpah, whom he had recovered from Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, after Ishmael had assassinated Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. The soldiers, women, children, and court officials he had brought from Gibeon. So the soldiers were soldiers, of course, that were loyal to Gedaliah, not soldiers that were loyal to Ishmael. Some of them had been not killed during the original assassinations that had gone on in Mizpah by Ishmael. So the surviving soldiers, and then the women, children, and court officials, that sounds like the harem, because women and children are in a harem, and court officials are usually those who take care of the harem. That could be other court officials. But at any rate, Johanan takes them out of Gibeon, but they didn't go back to Mizpah. They didn't go back to reestablish the Babylonian government up there in Mizpah. They went to Gareth Kimham near Bethlehem. I don't remember whether I've read verses 17 and 18 yet, so I'll read them now. And they went on, stopping at Gareth Kimham near Bethlehem on their way to Egypt to escape the Babylonians. They were afraid of them because Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had killed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had appointed as governor over the land. Now, Gareth Kimham is near Bethlehem, and Bethlehem was 20 miles due south of Mizpah, about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Gareth means habitation of or hospitality of, and Kimham was a son of Barzillai the Gileadite. Now, Barzillai was a man living in Gilead in the Transjordan area east of the Jordan during the time of Absalom's rebellion from David. Barzillai had helped David during that revolt of Absalom, and David wanted to reward Barzillai. So David gave Barzillai some land down there near Bethlehem. Barzillai said he was too old, I don't want to go. So he sent his son Kimham instead. And so the speculation is this is the place where the son lived by the royal grant from David. So Geruth, habitation of Kimham, perhaps the son of Barzillai the Gileadite. Interesting rabbit trail there. So they stopped near Bethlehem at Geruth-Kimham on their way to Egypt to escape the Babylonians. Of course, they figured they'd be safe in Egypt because the Babylonians would not be able to conquer Egypt, which was a kingdom on its own. Now, Johanan, son of Kareah, and the other people with him were afraid of the Babylonians. Why? Because Ishmael had killed Gedaliah. Now, was this fear reasonable or unreasonable? My first thought is, why would Babylon blame the Jews under the leadership of Johanan? Johanan and his friends had so bravely fought against the usurping murderers of Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, was opposed to the Babylonian government of Gedaliah, and Johanan had stuck up for the Babylonian government by chasing Ishmael out of the country. So why would Johanan be afraid of the Babylonians? You would think the Babylonians would be friendly with Johanan. Well, let me give you the answer to that question from Matthew Poole. He says this, though Johanan had nothing to do in that murder, the murder of Gedaliah, yet he did not know but that the king of Babylon, being ignorant of any parties amongst the Jews, might look upon them all as guilty who were Jews. And that is understandable. The Babylonians are far off. They see there's some internal political squabbles going on, but there's disunity, there's revolt, there's trouble, and who is most likely the trouble going to be aimed against? That would, of course, be the Babylonians. So I think that was a reasonable fear that Johanan had, and that's why he didn't want to go back to Mizpah and subject himself to the Babylonians. The pulpit commentary says they had good reason for their alarm, as the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, would naturally look upon Ishmael as the representative of the Davidic dynasty and the heir of that dynasty's claims to the loyalty of the Jews. That's because Ishmael was of royal blood, as we know from verse 1. He was from the house of Judah. The Babylonians would say, okay, Ishmael tried to take over. There's some revolt going on. They might not have noticed that Jonathan, son of Kareah, had taken care of the revolt. Johanan, the son of Kareah, had taken care of the revolt. Now, Johanan is not of royal blood. He was a military commander. So I don't know why the Babylonians would be afraid of him. So that question's a little bit up in the air. But at any rate, they were afraid of the Babylonians. Another, perhaps, way we could look at this is that their fear of the Babylonians was possibly only a pretense for their going into Egypt. They wanted to go to Egypt because they were just sick of being under the thumb of the Babylonians. They already had a civil revolt going on. They didn't have any way to protect themselves against machinations of the Ammonites, and so they are saying, let's go down to Egypt, where it's safe and secure. Later on in the next chapter, we're going to see that Jeremiah said, no, don't go down to Egypt. But they wanted to go. They really wanted to go because they ignored Jeremiah's advice and kept going. Now, was this retreat to Egypt, was it cowardly, uncowardly? Perhaps they would have been better to defend themselves against the Babylonians by laying the blame on Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. In other words, just explaining what happened and saying we weren't a part of this revolt against Gedaliah. You could make an argument either way, but it doesn't really matter. They shouldn't have gone to Egypt because Jeremiah told them so, and he had a word of the Lord. We'll see that in our next chapter. I hope you stay tuned with me to discuss chapter 42 when we get there. I will entitle that chapter, Warning Against Going to Egypt. I hope to see you next time, and I hope you enjoyed this audio.